Today is the 12th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Great to be here with you today around the global campfire, moving our way through the middle days of this month. It's warming up the rolling hills of Tennessee. I mean, it is a very, very lush green place, and that's how it looks this time of year. It'll keep getting hot and hot and hot till everything gets scorched, but it's lush and green now. I hope it's life-giving and beautiful wherever you are. No matter where you are, it is lush and beautiful and safe here around the global campfire as we gather for our next step forward, which puts us back into the book of 1 Samuel, where this significant transition is taking place between the time of the judges and the time of the kings. And we have King Saul now as Israel's first king. And then soon enough, we'll need to say goodbye to Samuel. Today, 1 Samuel chapters 12 and 13. Then Samuel said to all Israel, "I have listened to your voice and all that you said to me, and have made a king over you. And now, see, the king walks before you, but I am old and gray-headed. As for my sons, they are with you, but I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes with? Indeed, I will restore it you." They said, "You have not defrauded us nor oppressed us. Neither have you taken anything from any man's hand." He said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand." And they answered, "He is witness." Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord that prepared Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did for you and your fathers. When Jacob went into Egypt and your fathers cried out to the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought forth your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. When they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them. They cried to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you.' The Lord sent Jerubbaal, Bedan, Jephthah, and Samuel. And he delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelled in safety. When you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king will reign over us,' when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, look at the king whom you have chosen and for whom you have asked, and see that the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king that reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then will the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Even now, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord is doing before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, by asking for yourselves a king. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. All the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we will not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil, to ask ourselves for a king." Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness. Only do not turn aside from following the Lord, and serve the Lord with all your heart. But do not turn aside, for then you would be going after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. As befits his great name, the Lord will not abandon his people, for it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Fear the Lord, serve him in truth with all your heart, and consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, both you and your king will be swept away." Saul was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 42 years over Israel. Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in mountains of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent each to his tent. Jonathan struck the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." All Israel heard that Saul had struck the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel had become odious to the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. The Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, with people like the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and camped in Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. When Israel's fighting men saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people hid themselves in caves and hollows, among rocks and in cedars and cisterns. Some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. But as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. He waited 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Saul said, "Bring here to me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." Then he offered the burnt offering. When he finished offering the burnt offering, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, to greet him. Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come to the appointed assembly days, and the Philistines are gathering themselves together at Michmash. Therefore I said, 'The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not yet appeased the face of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. Truly now, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now, your kingdom will not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you." Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. Now Saul and Jonathan his son and the people that were with them were staying in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. Then raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned to the way that leads to Ophrah, to the land of Shual. Another company turned the way to Bet Aran, and another company turned to the way of the border that looks to the valley of Zeboim, toward the wilderness. Now there was no blacksmith found throughout all the land of Israel. But the Philistines said, "Lest the Hebrews make for themselves swords or spears." So all the children of Israel went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his plow point, his axe, his adze, and his hoe. The sharpening charge was 2/3 of a shekel for plow points, axes, pitchforks, and adzes, and to fix an ox goad. So it came to pass on the day of battle that neither sword nor spear were found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found in the hand of Saul and Jonathan his son. And the garrison of the Philistines had marched out to the ravine of Michmash. John 7, 1-30. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. He would not walk in Judea, because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you do. For no one does anything in secret, while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, reveal yourself to the world." For even his brothers did not believe in him. Therefore Jesus told them, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always fitting. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify concerning it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not going up to this feast yet, because my time has not yet fully come." Having said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. However, after his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he also went up, not publicly, but secretly. Then the Jews looked for him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" There was much complaining among the people concerning him, for some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "No, he deceives the people." Yet no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews marveled, saying, "How has this man become educated, having never been taught?" Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If any man desires to do his will, he shall know whether the teaching is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did Moses not give you the law, and yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me?" The people answered and said, "You have a demon who is seeking to kill you." Jesus answered them, "I did one work, and you all marvel. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, you circumcise a man on the Sabbath day, although it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath day, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I completely healed a man on the Sabbath day? Do not judge according to appearance, but practice righteous judgment." And some of them from Jerusalem said, "Is this not he whom they seek to kill? Look, he speaks publicly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers indeed know that this is really the Christ? but we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple, cried out, "You know me, and you likewise know where I am from. I have not come on my own authority, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know, but I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me." So they tried to seize him, but no one laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. Psalm 108, a song, a psalm of David. O God, my heart is determined. I will sing and give praise with my whole heart. Awake, O lyre and harp. I will awake at dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises unto you among the nations. For your mercy is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. May your glory be above all the earth. That your beloved ones may be delivered, provide salvation with your right hand and answer me. God has spoken in his sanctuary. I will triumph and will divide up Shechem and portion out the valley of Sukkot. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet. Judah is my royal scepter. Moab is my washbasin. On Edom I throw my shoe. Over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me into the fortified city? Who will lead me into Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? You surely do not go out, O God, with our armies. Grant us help against the foe, for the help of man is worthless. Through God we shall be valiant, for he shall tread down our enemies. Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it crushes the spirit. Okay, so we're getting to know Israel's first king, King Saul. Yesterday we found him hiding at his own coronation, revealing that Saul had like a genuine fear of what people thought about him. And that fear has the potential to negatively color his leadership, the way he makes his decisions. So in today's reading, we see this fear again, only this time like there's significant consequence. So the Israelites have a king. They expect that king begins to defend them and to deliver them from their enemies, from oppression, especially from the Philistines, who are sort of like their arch rival, their arch nemesis. So the prince of Israel now, his name is Jonathan, Saul's son, has stirred things up. He attacked a Philistine kind of guard post, and the Philistines have brought a horde to retaliate and crush Israel. Samuel tells Saul to wait for him in Gilgal so that God could be invited to battle for his people. The army comes, the army begins to slink away. Everybody's waiting for Saul, waiting for Samuel, but they're kind of very nervous. There's a lot of anxiety. Nobody knows what to do. People are deserting. They're looking to Saul, who is not resolute. He was very much gauging how the people are looking at him. So Saul decides, since Samuel has not come to offer the sacrifice, that he's going to do it himself. And he did. And Samuel arrives as Saul is finishing, and he is confronted over the foolishness of what he has done. He's disobeyed God in his early days. And he explains, like, it's very clear. Saul says, I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would. And the Philistines are at Michmash, ready for battle. So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came. So Saul's fear of circumstance, his fear of his reputation, costs him his kingdom. The kingdom is stripped from him in today's reading, just like that. Now, we've got a long way to go with King Saul. It's kind of like, just because God has stripped the kingdom, it's going to take 4 decades for this to all go down. But the damage is irreversible. And we'll see that as the story continues. Because Saul reveals something that is within all of us. To one degree or another, we are performing our lives in front of people so that we will belong and so that we will be liked. And we get identity out of that validation and affirmation to the point that sometimes we'll do anything for it, even though in the end it is a false identity altogether. When the fear of man, when the voices of the people around us are the judgment on who we are and what our value is, we have given ourselves over to a false god. So we're going to watch this happen in the life of King Saul, because if we will watch it happen in the life of King Saul and then each day kind of reflect back on the scenarios, they are very common. And so we find ourselves in this story deeply in our broken and shadowed and flawed places. So Father, we invite you into that as we move into this new era in the story of this family of Abraham, the children of Israel. We come learning, we come observing, we come seeing the deeper lessons in these stories as they apply to our own brokenness. And so the life of King Saul has much for us. And Holy Spirit, come open our eyes, help us to keep them open. Open our ears, help them to keep open, that we might see what we need to see and change what needs to be changed. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, these are home base, and we've been moving in for the last couple of weeks now, and stabilizing a brand new massive platform. And all of our developers working, patching, fixing, you know, doing what you do when you deploy a complete new infrastructure. So thank you for your patience as we do that, if you've had any issues. And hopefully we're working hard. Around the clock to make sure that we can help everybody get moved in. Anyway, continuing forward, there is something brand new though. Something brand new that I am going to announce today that we have been looking forward to and knowing that we would need to do as we moved into this new platform, because it's all things new. Like, there is nothing about the older system that is, that is ported over in any sort of way. So the new system is all new, which means Things like the Daily Audio Bible Shop are all new, and hopefully you've been able to go there because there's all kinds of new things there that we were able to launch with and are excited about. But one of the things that we've been transitioning is the Wind Farm Coffee and Tea. We rolled out brand new updated packaging for those. With the 2.0 launch, we introduced the 2-pound bags that are available. So there's our 12-ounce bags that are standard. There's a 2-pound bag and a 5-pound bag. And we're working really hard to kind of retool coffee and tea. So a lot of new things coming over the course of the rest of this year and next year. But for a very long time, we have had coffee subscription, where so many of you are like, you know, you get a bag of coffee every month, or you get 2, or you get 5, or you get 10, and you take them to the office, or whatever you, like, however coffee or tea works in your life. Well, for years and years, we've shipped fresh roasted coffee all over the world every month with our coffee subscription, our Wind Farm coffee subscription and tea. We've shipped tea all over the world as well. And we've been doing that for years and years. This is kind of part of the DNA, part of the rhythm. It's part of my rhythm. Day really doesn't go by without Wind Farm coffee. And sometimes I get on a tea kick, Wind Farm tea, certain ones that I love. I'm generally having a cup of hot something while we're hanging out every day around the global campfire. And maybe you are too. And maybe that should be Wind Farm coffee or tea. Anyway, let me get to the point. So we moved to the new system, and we informed everybody that, you know, had a subscription that was receiving coffee every month, that we were moving into a new system and the old system was going away, and that we wouldn't be able to kind of port over that subscription. They need to come to the new place and resubscribe. So we helped everybody through that. Now, just letting you know, the subscription service is all new at Daily Audio Bible for coffee and tea. And you can go there and select the kind or kinds that you like and just kind of have those sent to you. Or you can be part of the coffee or tea club, which rotates through all of our different varieties so that you can sample them all over the course of a year. So check that out. And here's what we got going on. For the first 250 people that go to the coffee subscription, to go to the coffee club in the Daily Audio Bible Shop and subscribe for a year, pay for a year, we have something very special. So another thing that has been a part of the DNA of Daily Audio Bible for a long time is our clean canteens that we bring out usually once, maybe twice in a year, and they go in a couple of days. But with all the transition and all the new stuff happening, we haven't had a chance to do any of that this year. If you go to the coffee shop in the Daily Audio Bible Shop and subscribe for a year to coffee or tea, we will send you a free Daily Audio Bible 20th anniversary edition clean canteen. And that is a good value, because I love my clean canteens. And those of you who have them, you know, like, put your coffee in there in the morning and you're fine. It's staying warm all day. Like, there isn't pretty much hardly ever am I ever here talking to you without my clean canteen full of something warm and yummy, coffee or tea. So these clean canteens are our 20th anniversary edition. However, they are exclusive. Like, we had those last year. These are the marigold color, and the design is a bit different. The 20 is a little bit different. There's 250 of them, when they're gone, this is the last of the 20th anniversary anything. And we've been saving these to commemorate 20 years, but also to launch our brand new Daily Audio Bible coffee shop that you can find in the app or at dailyaudiobible.com. So check that out. First 250 people. So that's the supply. While that supply lasts, go there and we'd love to send this to you. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Thank you deeply. If being here around the global campfire is a life-giving source, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, God's little bird. This is your sister Ashley from California, and I am super behind, but thank you, Jesus, that I am able to listen and to catch up, because I heard your call back about the lesson that you taught in, about 1 Corinthians. I think it was 10:31. Let everything you do be an act of worship for God. And the Holy Spirit's really been putting that on my heart lately. And it's about whatever housework that I have to do, or my work, or whatever it is that I have to do, rejoice in it and be glad in it. And the Holy Spirit is just speaking to my heart about that. I heard it with Cowboy, and now I'm hearing it with you. And so, DAB community, I just want to encourage you, even the little things, to rejoice in the little things, rejoice in the hard things, rejoice in the things that you may not, how Little Bird was talking about going to the bathroom, or doing the dishes, or all sorts of things. I just thank you for sharing that. That just blessed my socks off, and I will be taking that with me into the rest of my day. All right. I love you. I am praying for you all, community, and love, your sister Ashley from California. Bye.
Hello, this is Amy, formerly from Wisconsin, now from Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm calling in with an update on Katie. And I'm sorry, I didn't say my name the first time that I called in. Katie is the young lady that had the fistula, C-section, blood clots, and then stroke. She had to have major surgery where they removed half her skull. The update is an absolute praise report. She has been taken off of the ventilator. She has been able to respond to the best of her abilities appropriately to staff and family. And her little baby girl is now 1 month old and is doing well. God is so good, and it's an amazing update. I will keep you updated as God moves further. Bye.
Hi, my beautiful dabbers. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels on May 6th. I think this is my first time calling in on the new app. It is so big, bountiful, and juicy. I can't wait to dig into it more. I just am so excited that it would continue to lead us further into our faith journey through journaling and through the testimonial wall and all the new features. And I'm just thankful for the Harding family and reminding us all to not be groaners and complainers if it doesn't work perfectly, but to continue to prayerfully ask that the will of God would be done through this app. I'm actually calling to lift up Megan. Megan, I heard you today on the prayer line, and so many things stood out. First and foremost, that it's your first time calling, that your mother's been in an accident and you're calling on her behalf, and that when you got baptized and got a Bible, she wrote a scripture in it that you read today and that you're holding on to.
due to this trial that you are both undergoing right now. So let us go before the Father's throne of grace. Heavenly Father, full of grace and mercy, hallowed be thy beautiful name. Lord God, we revere you, we fear you, we love you, Lord God. We come to you on behalf of Megan's mother, a woman of God, a prayerful woman. Lord, we pray that you would have mercy on her and heal her, and that she would survive this accident, and that your glory and will would be done in her life, Father God. We pray that you would come alongside Megan in this season, Father God, and continue to remind her that she has Jesus who can sympathize with everything she's going through, and that we can come boldly to your throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Megan, that's Hebrews 4:15 through 16. Please hold on to that and remember that. We love you, and we're asking all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Intercessor in Delaware. I'm asking for all to pray for my daughter in love, Tia, praying for complete and total cellular restoration throughout her body. Thanking you for your prayers. She's in the hospital. And leaving God, Abba Father, for complete and total healing in Tia's body. Thank you for your prayers. Shalom.
This message is for our dear sister Kate from Ohio. It's beloved in Bakersfield. I just wanted to send my condolences for the loss of your beautiful mama. I am rejoicing with you that her passing was so quick, that she wasn't in any prolonged pain or agony, and that she is now in glory with our Heavenly Father. I know it's so bittersweet, and we long all the more for heaven. And that day will come. But until then, may God just reveal his goodness. May his presence be felt all the more during this time of deep loss and of waiting until we get to return home with him and with all of our loved ones who have gone before us. But dear sister, may you know that you are cared for deeply, that you are loved deeply, and that you have brothers and sisters all over the globe who are grieving and mourning with you and lifting you up. Again, I'm so sorry. And I just pray that even as we enter into Mother's Day this weekend, that your heart would just be comforted with the legacy that your beautiful mom has left, and that all the prayers that she prayed and that those did not go unnoticed or not heard by our Lord and Savior, but that you can just rejoice in the legacy that she has left behind within your family. And this weekend would just be so sweet, just speaking of all the sweet, wonderful things God has used her for this side of heaven. We love you. Heavenly Father, please just hear our prayers and comfort our dear sister.
Hey, this is Cowboy, and I would like to lift up prayers for Miss K in Ohio and her family in this tragic time. Holy Spirit, please minister to this family. Father, Lord, you pour so much into this mighty prayer warrior, Lord, that she pours into others. Father, I pray that you give her a double dose. Lord, that you just pour into her, pour your spirit into her, pour your peace, Lord. Pour your comfort into her, Lord, and let her be the light. Let her be the voice for her family. Lord, let her be able to pour into her family in this time. Lord, let them remember the good times that they had with her mother. Father, Lord, let it just be a sweet comfort on their minds and their hearts, Lord, that she is sitting at your right hand. Father, minister to this family, Lord. And I pray that if there's opportunity, that there's anybody in her family that needs to know your love, Lord, that this is the opportunity to bring them to you. Lord, when my mother passed away, I went to go be with you. 33 people gave their hearts to God in her ceremony. Father, I pray that that happens here. Lord, you turn the beauty, you turn beauty from the ashes, Lord. Lord, you've conquered the grave. And I pray peace, I pray prosperity over this, over Miss K and her beautiful, beautiful family. In your mighty name we pray.